Ain't you never heard about the man with the black eye patch?
From the luxury and comfort of an executive office chair bolted to the sheet metal floor, the rips in the brown leatherette on the arm seat and headrest repaired with overlapping strips of frayed duct tape, the magnificent Krekka gestured impatiently for the big man breathing wolf nasty in his face to take a step back. Something more easily ordered than for his headrest about furlong to obey. Floor space in the Carney Master's cabin was at a premium, largely because its sidewalls were lined with built-in sway-proof racks and shelves. Jammed on them were select items taken either in trade or looted after a mass chilling. Among the more important trinkets were unfired, Brazilian-made hand blasters still wrapped in their protective cosmoline, several 223 caliber full-auto military carbines, a scoped Remington 700 long blaster, and factory-loaded ammo in their original metal boxes. There were tall bottles of the very best Joy Juice and plastic bags of uncut Jolt. Lidded glass jars were packed with bright bits of jewelry and dozens of cardboard boxes full of single-serving-sized containers of pre-dark candies. There was also a barely functioning mini-TV and VCR, a small number of video and audio tapes, and a black boombox. The electricity came from movable solar panels on the WAG's roof. Along the front wall, below the room's only decoration, a quartet of fly-spotted, discolored girly magazine centerfolds, was Krekka's narrow bunk. Jackson lay curled up in the corner in a nest of rags, a pale, sleeping pill bug. His choke collar was chained to an eye bolt in the wall. The cabin smelled strongly of unwashed mail, cigar butts, and paper-trained sticky.
Of course I've heard of him. Every triple stoop droolie who isn't deaf has heard of that bastard. So, you think he's One-Eye Carter?
Damn straight. Right down to the zigzag scar on his eyebrow, where the knife cut took his peeper. What the...
Furlong jerked his head around to see the sticky waking up. He made double-nuking sure he was out of reach of the little thing's needle teeth and sucker fists. The relief on Furlong's face when he turned back was almost comical.
What would he want with us?
Maybe he knows what we've been doing. Maybe he wants to take our booty.
With a force of 7?
Krekka stroked his red beard.
Hell, not even 7. The old man's brain-fucked, and that boy? Hell, his balls haven't even dropped yet.
Krekka couldn't be concerned. He had a virtual mini-army, 59 strong, all hand-selected and personally trained by him, hardened, efficient chillers who took pride in their work. Only one creature in all of the Deathlands had the power to make that bloodthirsty bunch wet their pants. And do his bidding. The Magus. That bastard had done things to people that gave even the Carney Master's chill crew wake-up-sweating nightmares. Things that made the objects of his unwanted attention squeal like pigs and offer their own children's lives in exchange for a quick, merciful death. If the Magus had ever had an ounce of mercy in him, he'd had it cut out a long time ago. The new and improved Carney operation was large-scale, large-profit, and held together by fear and greed. This hell's twin wellsprings of motivation. That someone was after the accumulated spoils of mass murder came as no surprise to the magnificent Krekka. With a setup as sweet as this one, he'd known it had to happen sooner or later.
I think we ought to take them out tonight. I can send a couple of my best boys to chill them all while they're sleeping.
Being the head roustabout in the most famous Carney and Deathlands didn't require much smarts, just straightforward, dependable brutality. The magnificent Krekka sometimes wondered if Furlong could even tie his own bootlaces, or if he had to bully someone else into tying them for him. For years prior to his promotion, Krekka had worked for the late Gert Wolfram, but never as a roustabout. He'd been an advanced scout and collector of specimens for the fat man's menagerie of living oddities. He trapped wild muties in the darks, using rope snares or pitfalls. In and around the vills, he bought or kidnapped the tame ones. He'd find a particularly disgusting freak that he knew old Wolfram would like, and he'd shove a bag over its head and steal it from the bosom of its loving family. If the family caught him in the act and objected too strenuously, he'd chill the whole lot of them. He was paid by the pound in those days. Wolfram had a thing about size and weight. The biggins drew better crowds. A rule of showmanship that the new Carney Master still followed. While on the road, he often had to force-feed his severely depressed captives at Blaster Point to maintain their redemption value. If they still wouldn't take nourishment, he'd ditch them in the middle of nowhere to make room for more profitable cargo. Their lives weren't worth the price of a centerfire bullet, or the trouble of retargeting a bone-nicked knife blade.
What are you going to do with the bodies afterward?
Drag the pieces of shit outside the berm and bury them on the plain.
And tomorrow morning nobody's going to notice 7 people who up and vanished?
Dunno. Somebody might notice, but there'd be no proof. So what could they do?
What if one of them yells out as your boys attack, or gets hold of a blaster? What then?
Furlong was silent under knit brows, straining to come up with a good answer. He might as well have been trying to explain gravity. But he was too stupid to see the futility of the effort.
Bulletville's going to be the best pickings we ever had, thanks to Azimuth. If we try anything on One Eye and his crew and it goes sour, it'll queer the whole damn deal, and I won't risk that.
But if we...
Do nothing. You hear me?
But...
Do absolutely fucking nothing. Do you understand me, Furlong?
Okay.
Now, get out.
After Furlong left, the MC assured himself that even if One Eye had come to pay them a visit, even if he knew about the spoils of mass murder, it didn't matter. Carter didn't know how the chilling was done. He couldn't know, because there had never been a single survivor left to tell the tale. Carter and his 6 comrades would die like dogs, along with the rest of Bullardville. Krukka twisted the ends of his goatee into a point.
Well, too bad about the bitch, though. She could make one hell of a sex slave. Oh, well.
He reached in his tailcoat side pocket and took out a small beige cardboard box. On it were printed the words, Choco Duds. He shook a few of the Predar candies onto his palm. They looked like ossified rat turds. Their milk chocolate coating had crystallized to a flowery white. More than a century of storage had turned once soft caramel centers to amber glass, unchewable by norm teeth and jaws. Krukka flicked one of the duds across the cabin. It hit Jackson on the cheek. The sticky's eyes popped open at once. It rooted in the heap of rags until it found the treat. Jackson had no trouble eating the pellet. The dead eyes begged for more.
Now, Jackson. First, we've got work to do.
Krukka put a video cassette in the player and powered up the TV. Bright colors and dancing females appeared on the screen. Krukka fell into step with the lead singer-dancer, a dewy-eyed teenage blonde with a bare midriff, and her troupe of 4 bare-bellied dancers. Their moves were complex and violent, and there wasn't much room to work. Tails of red satin coat flapping, the carny boss pivoted left and spin-kicked right.
Come on, Jackson, let's go!
Dancing, sort of, the sticky waved its spindly arms, snapped and ground its narrow hips, a hair behind the beat.
Good, Sticky.
It was part of the magnificent Krukka's job, and the real chilling and robbing operations cover, to keep audiences in the larger bills coming back every time the company circuited through Deathlands. This required the invention of new and ever more spellbinding acts. His latest idea for a big-top finale was an all-sticky dance number with music and routines lifted from the video and Jackson singing and dancing in drag. Long blonde wig, bare belly, tight miniskirt. As a Britney imitator, the sticky had a long, long way to go. The little creature spun and crashed into the wall.
That's okay, Jackson. Let's take it from the top.